Well, it is the end of a season. Of course, it is coming up to the end of summer, but I believe more important than that, it is the end of nectarine season. The last good nectarine of the year has been eaten. I love nectarines. I think they are my favorite fruit. Perhaps there's another fruit out there that I've never tried that I would enjoy more, but for me, nothing beats a nectarine. So much so that although I rate normal fruits and vegetables and other foods on a scale of 1 through 10, nectarines get their own scale. So if you have a really good, like the perfect apple, and that would score a 10, the perfect nectarine easily scores 100. Nectarines are just a cut above. They pass out any other fruit, in my opinion at least. That I would eat a nectarine instead of any other fruit any day. And sadly, nectarine season is at a close. That now nectarines are getting worse and worse. And you might still be able to find them, but they're not going to be that good. And in the same way that I give nectarines a lot of extra points when they're really good, well, I'm willing to take away points when they're bad, because nectarines, they just deserve better. So a nectarine that would be a 4 for nectarines, well, it's going to be equivalent to like a 4 for an apple or an orange or a peach. That, I mean, it's okay, but maybe you wouldn't want to go out of your way to get it. But when nectarines get worse, now as it's no longer nectarine season, if you have a nectarine that's a 2, that's like maybe 1 point. Maybe only 0 points on a scale of 1 to 10. And a nectarine that's a 1, when you get a bad nectarine, that's like negative 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 for all other foods. I mean, if I get a bad banana, if I get a bad orange, yeah, okay, I understand those things are going to let me down. But a nectarine, I cannot accept that kind of betrayal. Nectarines, I love them. And sadly, nectarines are about done for the year. Now, I wouldn't say I'm a nectarine critic or like a nectarine chef or anything like that. I just like eating a plain nectarine. I don't even put them on anything. If you offered to make me a nectarine pie, I would probably say, that sounds like it might be good, but just give me the nectarines. I trust in the nectarine by itself, but I don't know. I think nectarines and pie, it might make the pie really good, but it's not going to live up to just the nectarine by itself. Maybe some of you are the opposite, where you have a favorite food that you feel like it will just make anything better. I saw a shirt that said, bacon makes everything better. That at least in that person's opinion, you can put bacon on just about anything and make it better. Maybe just you're having a bad day, things haven't gone well at work, come home and have some bacon. It'll make it better. But they'll put it on anything. And they do have bacon donuts, bacon desserts. They have bacon for breakfast, of course, bacon for lunch, bacon for dinner, bacon anytime you want it. Maybe some of you feel that way about avocados, that, man, avocado would just make anything better. Me, I'm not really a fan. I'd go with a nectarine. But for you, avocados. You think, you know, if we're going to have an omelet, put some avocado on there. A sandwich, go ahead, add some avocado. Had a bad day at work? I don't know, maybe you eat an avocado. Maybe smash them up and call them guacamole. But for me, nectarines are the thing. Maybe you have other things that you feel like just make everything better. That you feel like, if I could just have one thing to fix my day, this is what it would be. That, in fact, I looked online, there's a site that's called makeseverythingbetter.com. And if you go there, it's just people posting what they say makes everything better. So I looked there and I saw someone put, Beyonce makes everything better. That for that person, man, if there's one thing that would make this moment better, is if we just turn on the right music. People say, you know, that chocolate makes everything better. One person put, golf makes everything better. Golf makes everything better. Golf makes everything better. Either they really liked golf or they didn't understand submit buttons that well. They said, what is going to make everything better? What can you add to any situation to make things better? Here in the church, of course, we have our own answer. That God's presence makes everything better. That the Holy Spirit makes everything better. And today we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. Those things that the church has been given to make everything better. That because of the spiritual gifts, everything is made better. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And we'll probably look at the same passage next week. We'll talk about the specific gifts. For today, though, we want to talk about gifts in general and make sure you get this foundation of spiritual gifts. And we're going to do this the long way. I know that for many of you, you've been in church for years and you know about spiritual gifts. You feel like you have a pretty good understanding of why there are spiritual gifts in the church. Maybe you've taken a spiritual gift inventory and you know what your spiritual gift is. But we're going to do this the long way. We're going to go through the whole chapter here. We're going to talk about a number of things about spiritual gifts because I don't want to shortcut any of this. I don't want you coming away thinking, well, I wish you had spent more time defining spiritual gifts or telling us, you know, why they even exist or why I should even think that there are spiritual gifts. So that's what we're focusing on this week. In the same way that when I talk about the gospel, I don't just try to shortcut over it and say, well, you guys all know what the gospel is. But I'll take the time to explain Jesus Christ, God made flesh, living a perfect life, dying for our sins, rising again, that we can believe in Him and enjoy that life as well. I'm going to take the time to go through this passage here and talk about spiritual gifts. So some of this, hopefully a lot of it, you already know and you can just be reminded of. You can be reminded of what the Scripture says about spiritual gifts. Hopefully you grow in your understanding as well. Hopefully at this point you found 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from the NIV, starting at verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy, and we ask that You would open our hearts to hear from You this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, today we are talking about gifts, about spiritual gifts in the church. And the first thing I want you to know about these gifts is that they are present. The presence of gifts. The presence of gifts in this church. That this church, the church today, the church of Jesus, does receive spiritual gifts. And that's what it says in the beginning of this chapter here. About spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand that the church does receive gifts, to know the presence of gifts. That the presence of gifts is promised by God. Starting in the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit working through God's people. That the Holy Spirit would come upon specific people at specific times for specific reasons. So you think of Moses. You think of the judges, people who were empowered by the Holy Spirit, who were given special gifts, special prompting, special leadership of how they should act. Sometimes it was a momentary gift, like the strength of Samson. The strength that he had for much of his life, then he lost, and then again he was given that strength at the end of his life again. Sometimes it's a gift that seems to stick with them for their whole life. People who were known as prophets. People who, throughout their career, were known as speaking for God. Some of them were receiving gifts that they didn't even really want. You think of Gideon, perhaps, or Jonah. People who were gifted by God to serve in certain ways, even when they wouldn't seek it out themselves. Even when they didn't want to serve God that way. And then we think of the promises in the book of Joel, that there is coming a day when God's Spirit is going to be poured out, when people again will have these gifts. And we see that in the New Testament, that of course we see the work of Jesus, but then after Jesus' death and His resurrection, when He returns to heaven, the disciples gather together and they wait. They wait to receive this promise, where Jesus had told them was coming. And on the day of Pentecost, as they are gathered there, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Not just on one of them, but upon all who believe. And they begin to be able to speak in tongues and to minister to the people of the city there. They're able to, after that, perform miracles as they go about in their ministry. And much of the book of Acts speaks of the spreading of the Holy Spirit. First to those disciples of Jesus who were there that day. Then to the Jewish believers, people who've been raised up in Judaism and have now accepted Jesus as the Messiah. And then as we continue through Acts, you see those borders expand and expand and expand. Where they go to people who are less close, people who are in Samaria, people who are God-fearing Gentiles, and finally to people who had no connection with the nation of Israel or the Jewish beliefs. Who come to know who Christ is, to believe in Him, and in that moment of faith, they receive the Holy Spirit. So the same signs are present with them as they receive the spiritual gifting as well. That in the church today, we believe we also receive spiritual gifts. That these promises from God do not come only in the past, only as a historical note of how God worked once upon a time, but that spiritual gifts are with us today. The presence of gifts is promised by God. We are promised that we will be given spiritual gifts. And that's what it says in these verses. For instance, in verse 6 it says, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That each of us as Christians receives spiritual gifts. It's not only for the past, and it's also not only for those who are hired by the church or for specific people who are called to do a ministry somewhere else, but that each of you, having come to faith in Christ, receive spiritual gifts. If you accept the presence of gifts, that they are in the church today and that they do exist for us now, we go on to the purpose of gifts. To the purpose of gifts, because gifts are not given without a reason. The Holy Spirit works in the people of the church for a purpose. There is a purpose to these gifts. It's my birthday this week, and maybe some of you knowing that, seeing my name up on the slides before service or in the bulletin, you kind of thought, I see what you're doing, Andrew. You decided the Sunday before, the Sunday after your birthday, you're going to talk about gifts. Make us all know what's going on, what we need to have on our mind as it comes up to your birthday. But no, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for people like Carla, who also have a birthday this week. But there is a truth that gifts are given for a purpose. Gifts are given for a reason, that when you give someone a gift for their birthday or for Christmas, you might do it because of your appreciation for that person, because you care for them. Maybe you do it just because of an obligation. You feel like, well, I mean, just given that they give me a gift for my birthday, I should probably give them one. Otherwise, they're going to think I'm a jerk, and I don't want that to happen. So, yeah, okay, we'll come up with some gift. Maybe you have this kind of gifting in your office as you get into the holidays, where you think, okay, well, they said a $10 gift, or give to someone else here. Can I get by with $8? Do I have to do $12? Gifts, though, are given for a purpose, to communicate something. And sometimes, because the gift itself is very important, that you give something to someone not just because it's the act of giving and it's the act that's important, but because what you give to them is very important. Say, I have just the thing for you. Here's what I need you to have. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in the church, that gifts are given to the church for a purpose. And that's what it says again in verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. That these gifts are given to strengthen God's people. The purpose of gifts is the people of God. The purpose of gifts is the people of God, is strengthening God's people and His church and working the mission of His body, which is the church. That's what it talks about here in verses 12 and following, about the church as a body. That all of us have received gifts from the Holy Spirit so that we can work together and be effective together. And He gives us a couple pitfalls that we need to avoid as we think about our spiritual gifts and the gifts of those around us. The first is, looking here in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. As you have received a gift from the Holy Spirit, do not put down what God has given you. Do not feel like you have missed out because you did not receive the gift that someone else has. Just like for your own body, you would not want parts of your body to rebel if your foot said, you know, I really wish I was a hand. I'm only going to do hand stuff from now on. Maybe some of you have had that experience where some part of your body has broken down and is no longer doing the job that it is meant to do. In the same way in the church, do not feel like you have received a gift that you do not enjoy as much, that you do not value as much, and so you're not going to do your job. If my feet were to give up their work here, I would be unable to move around. I don't have a backup system for my feet. And in the same way, here we are warned about the other approach we might have. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We shouldn't look around and say, man, the head is really the best part of the body. We should trade in all our feet and hands and legs and arms and just get a bunch more heads. Wouldn't that be? How many of you guys would like to be just a torso with five heads? Any takers for that? That maybe you wouldn't be able to do as much, but you could sure have some good conversations, right? The problem with conversations is always the other person, isn't it? If you just had five heads, man, that'd be easier. But if my feet decided to give up their work, I wouldn't say, no problem, I'll just handstand walk everywhere. If I were to try that, I wouldn't make it off the stage. Actually, I probably would make it off the stage, just I'd be a little crumpled when I got there. Each of us has a role in the church based on our spiritual gifts. That we have been gifted in specific ways by the Holy Spirit for the good of the body. We have a whole variety of gifts that we'll be talking about next week. So if you have specific questions about how different gifts work together, save those till after next week and then maybe I'll answer them. But know that each of you has received a gift of God. That each of them is important. And each of them works for the same purpose. For the people of God, for encouraging the people of God, for working the mission of the church. So we know of the presence of gifts here in the church. And the presence of gifts is promised by God. And hopefully you've seen a little bit of the purpose of these spiritual gifts. That the purpose of these gifts is the people of God. Finally, I want to remind you of the power of gifts. The power of gifts. Because the power of gifts comes from their source. That these are not just any gifts, but they are spiritual gifts. Again, let's look in verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And then verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Spiritual gifts have power because of their source. The power of spiritual gifts is the presence of God. The power of our spiritual gifts in the church is the presence of God, is knowing that you have been gifted in a specific way by the Holy Spirit for this body. That you can serve the church in many ways. You can do a lot of different jobs in the church. But there are some ways that you have been specifically gifted, and that when you serve in those ways, God is working through you in a way that He doesn't necessarily work through everyone else. That God's presence is there, bringing power to that situation. Just like you can, if you want, use your feet to pick things up and move them around. And you could get by that way if you really tried. Maybe a little bit easier for those of us who are more flexible. But when you are able to use your hand to do that task, the feet are just going to, wow, you are good at that. Me and the other feet here, we've been trying to move these things all day. And now that the hand showed up, wow, this has been good. And we should have that same reaction that those who have spiritual gifts and are serving using their gifts have the power of God, the God who created the world, working for them. Empowering them as they act. And we should praise those people and say, wow, you have done a great job. You are a great hand. Recognizing what God is doing in these people. You know, you are really, really good at seeing. You have a vision that is clear. You are hearing the Word of God. And at the same time, when we receive that kind of praise, when people say, wow, you've done a great job, and it's because of our spiritual gifting, we should remember that we received those gifts not just because of our own talents, not because of our own strength and our own practice and our own hard work, although certainly we should be working diligently with our gifts. But we have been effective because of God and the power of God working through us. The gifts that we have in the church, the spiritual gifts that we have today, give us a little taste test of eternity. Whenever we go to Sam's Club, Rebecca always wants to come and find all the taste tests. And so we'll be far across the store, and she'll see someone there in a green hat and a little banner up there, and she's like, there's one! There! Let's go! I'm like, well, we're getting someone from this aisle. No. We'll go there, and then we'll come back to here. Because she wants to just get that taste. What do they want us to experience today? And the spiritual gifts are the same way, that the Holy Spirit has equipped this church that we get a taste of what is to come. That talks about this just in the next verse here. That in the next chapter, in chapter 13, saying that we're able to know in part, to see in part, that we see in a mirror dimly, but in eternity we will see face to face. That these gifts that we are given give us a little taste of what it's going to be like in heaven. That when we see a gift of prophecy, when we see someone speaking the words of God, we get a little glimpse of what eternity is going to be like. That when people have seen miracles, it's just been a little taste of what heaven is going to be like every day, all the time. That when people are generous and kind, when they are teaching, we see a little glimpse of what we're going to get in heaven as the Spirit moves through them. The power of gifts is in the presence of God. That as we use our gifts, God is there in that day, in that moment, in that act. That we encourage you, of course, to be involved in a variety of ministries, that you're living out your Christian life in many ways. That we are called to do a lot of things, and some of them you may not be especially great at. But we also believe that you have a gift from God for this people. And that if you are not using that gift, if you have set that to the side, maybe you've been like Jonah. I know I have this gift, but I don't really want to use it. Maybe like Gideon. Okay, I see that you're giving me the strength to do this, but is there any other way? Can anyone else do this job instead? Because if you're not using your gift, you are wasting a gift given to the church. That you are letting God's power sit idle within you. And so my encouragement to you is to embrace the power and the presence of God in your life, to work through your spiritual gift, to strengthen this body of believers. That you would help this church. That you would allow God to act through you as you use your spiritual gift. In the next week, we're going to be looking at a whole variety of gifts. And hopefully, if you don't already have an idea of what your gift is, you'll be on the way to understanding that next week. And next week, we're also going to take time to identify people around you, people that you know, and see if you can identify what gifts they have. That people in the church around you should know how you are gifted and how you are serving. What gifts you've been given for this people. If in your own body, you never knew that your left hand was a hand, it's because it hasn't been doing the work that's been gifted to do. And our goal is that after next week, we would know what the parts of this body are, and that we'd be working more effectively, because we want that power of God, His presence in everything that we do. Gifts are present in the church today. They're given for a purpose, to strengthen this body, this people. And they are immensely powerful. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you so much for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us today. We thank you for the way that you have gifted us and encouraged us. Lord Jesus, help us to use these gifts to strengthen your body. Equip us today. Encourage us. And let us know you more. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.